Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for your promises to save your children in these days to come. They're just exciting, and we know we're getting very close here. And we thank you for it, Lord. Please be with us in this ministry and today, and also bless your people with eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. All right, I'm going to share with you an awesome revelation here, a few awesome revelations, actually. I think we're going to call this, My People Shall Be Delivered. Amen. This first one was given to Eve Brass on January the 6th, this 2020. She said, I dreamed that I was parked in the garage of a house that belonged to an old woman. And her note was, the bride is resting outside the shepherd's tents, represented by this old apostate woman church. Well, amen. You know, Song of Solomon 1, 7 and 8 says, Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock. People are looking for a place, and they go out there and find a denomination. But here the bride wants to know where the Lord feeds his flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon, the rest, entering into the rest. For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flocks of thy companions? They don't want to live under the veil. They want to come out from under the veil. They want to come into the truth, etc. And if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way. Here's her answer. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents, not in them. And, of course, Eve went on to say, we're waiting for our friends, loved ones, and all of God's elect to come out from among them, that is the apostates, to be separate with us. Amen. It sounds good, and I believe this revelation is going to be about that. A great help. I saw the door open that led into the house, and three blonde-headed young men came walking out into the garage to get into my vehicle. Uh-oh, they're coming out of the house. Out of the house of the apostates. And Eve says the number three is used 467 times in the Bible. It pictures completeness, although to a lesser degree than seven. And the meaning of this number derives from the fact that it is the first of four spiritually perfect numerals, the others being 7, 10, and 12. At the time of the earthquakes, the fullness or completeness of our brethren will come out of apostasy. Well, that's cool. And I do believe God's going to shake heaven and earth so that the things that can't be shaken will be revealed, right? Well, I believe that these earthquakes and the plague will separate these people from the apostate shepherd's tents. And I believe many apostate shepherds are going to be passing away in this time. Not all. Some will repent. And this is what will set the people free. She said, I could hear the old woman complaining about the three young men leaving her house and coming with me. Well, coming with the bride, that is. The woman that rides the beast will not be happy with the mass exodus of God's elect from her. It's not going to leave much left but a bunch of demons, I tell you. God's elect will come out from among them in the days to come. They replied to her, Well, if your house didn't smell like an ashtray all the time because of your smoking, maybe we wouldn't be leaving. Yeah. Well, you know, spiritually, unclean breath represents partaking of demon spirits. Breath and spirit are the same word. So this smoking represents the old woman's not only stinking, but taking in demon spirits. Eve said, I knew they were tired of living in those conditions and were ready to leave her house. Yes, God is making a lot of people dissatisfied. They don't know right where to go, but they are dissatisfied with what they're seeing. And every once in a while, they might read the scriptures and discover that, uh-oh, this doesn't look like the church. So all of the unclean spirits, Eve wrote, were choking the life out of these elect ones. Yep, they're not satisfied. Like David said, I will not be satisfied until I awaken thy likeness. I got out of the car and went around to the passenger side to open the door for them. Hey, that sounds familiar. I then realized that my car was a golden Chevy Supersport. The young men were so impressed with my vehicle and were really excited to ride with me. And she said, we opened the door to them by showing them the door, which is the real Jesus. Yes. You know what? There's going to be a demonstration of just what they've read in the Bible, of Jesus going forth and doing signs and wonders and miracles, and they're bound to believe something that their lying teachers told them passed away is wrong, because they're going to see this again. God's going to give a witness. Jesus' witness of signs and wonders and miracles delivered a lot of people from the apostate church of that day. Same thing going to happen here. And when I went to back out of the garage, I realized that there was no floorboard in the front of the driver's seat. The car was powered by my feet, like Fred Flintstone. My feet were bare, and as I ran with my feet on the road, the car would supernaturally go very fast. Wow, that's low technology, isn't it? Well, you know, the true church is kind of low technology. You know, they're not the fancy thing that you're seeing out there, you know, that they're trying to tell you is the church, you know. And Eve said, our walk upon the highway of holiness empowers us supernaturally. Yes, it does. It thrusts us forward, right? People that aren't holy can't do what the bride can do, nor the man child, right? The young men were even more impressed with this than any souped up engine that the car could have had. And she said, when our brethren are delivered, they will be so impressed with the power of the first fruits. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. There won't be anything to compete. A bunch of loudmouth Pharisees, you know, factious Pharisees speaking against the truth who have no power, you know, they won't be able to compete in the mind of the elect. All right. We got on the highway going through the city very fast, and we were all having a lot of fun. The young men were really enjoying their freedom from the old woman's house. Hey, I know a bunch of you out there that felt the same way when you came out of the old woman's house. I know I did. The freedom and the power and the knowledge that the Lord was pouring out was just exciting, right? Suddenly, all this disappeared, and I found myself kneeling in the middle of the highway with my hands lifted and the angel of his presence standing before me. I could feel the power of his presence, but was unable to open my eyes and to look upon him. Speaking of the time of the coming earthquakes, he said, my people shall be delivered, starting in the east and fervently towards the west shall they be delivered. Ooh, let me say that again. Speaking of the time of the coming earthquakes, he said, that is the angel of the Lord, my people shall be delivered, starting in the east and fervently towards the west shall they be delivered. And Eve said, this reminds me of the dream I had of seven earthquakes going around the world, which is has pasted here below. Our dreams have shown these go from the east to the west across the United States, and evidently revival is going to follow right with them. Not only a revival because of the fear of the Lord, but a revival because of signs and wonders that are going to happen to save people and deliver them, right? I woke up as I was repeating what he had spoken to me. He wanted to make sure she remembered that, right? I looked up the word fervent because I wasn't sure of its meaning. Fervent means having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit, feeling or enthusiasm. And number two, hot, burning, or glowing. Fervent, right? And this morning, Vanessa got as a confirmation of this dream, Acts 2, 17 through 21. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, you notice the visions and the dreams, which the factious speak so much against. They don't believe in them when they get those demons on them, because, of course, these dreams and revelations speak of them, warn of them, point out their sins, and so on. But the Lord said these are going to be prevalent. Yep. In this latter rain, just like they were in the former rain. Yep. Not that their dreams and visions have ever left the church. They haven't. But we were in the latter rain until the former rain comes. Right? And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Yep, that sounds like some of the effects of Planet X. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Yep, that happens too. And the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes. That's before the day of the Lord comes. That great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, this reminded Eve of a previous dream she had about seven earthquakes, the New Madrid and the man-child. Let me say that the earthquakes are going to go around the world, and across the United States. And this is, of course, because the planet is turning as it faces the pass of Planet X. And by the way, I believe that this coming spring could bring more revelation of Planet X that the government can't even stop. And the following spring after that, will be the flyby. We'll see. So, Eve got this dream on 4/23/2012. Okay. I dreamed I was high above the earth, sitting on the clouds, and to the right of Tom Welling, the actor who plays Superman in the Smallville TV series. This was odd to me because I don't ever dream of superheroes, but I understood the parable of Superman being Jesus in the man-child, with the latter rain anointing and supernatural abilities. Amen. We've had other dreams about the man-child being a Superman, kind of in the steps of Jesus, right? He was pointing and showing me places where earthquakes were to take place around the globe. Because the globe is turning as it faces Planet X, and there is an earth tide. You know, just like there's a water tide because of the moon, well, Planet X has a lot more gravity than the moon, and it's much bigger than the earth. So the earth tide can be terrible, right? And the earthquakes and volcanic activity that follow will be terrible too. So the Lord was showing her the earthquakes that are going to happen around the globe and telling me about them. But the strange thing is the earth was wrapped in a golden yellow tarp that was made of the same material as the yellow raincoat that my son Josiah wears. He used to belong to my dad and was way too big for him, but he loved to wear it when it rained. Okay. On top of the raincoat tarp was the red outline of all the continents of the earth. Let me just go back and just say something about the raincoat. There's going to be a protection when the earth passes through the tail of Planet X. It will take about an hour, and that will be the biggest stuff that's going to hit the earth, that hour passing through the tail and all the stuff that's following, all the junk that's following Planet X will pass through that. It'll take about an hour. Not to say others won't be hitting the earth. This planet takes asteroids out of the Oort cloud and flings them towards this solar system. So we could get stuff anytime, and I think they're predicting stuff here pretty soon, actually. So going on from there, I believe the raincoat could represent a protection for God's people, you know, like it was for Josiah during the rain. This is, we're talking about a rain of fire from heaven and fireballs from heaven. So anyway, on top of the raincoat tarp was the red outline of all the continents of the earth. And each place that there was going to be an earthquake was the outline of a star in red. So the stars in red all over the earth were pointing towards earthquakes, big earthquakes. I only remember two places. One was around the Great Lakes, the New Madrid, right, area in the United States. I remember that this one well because when I saw it in the dream, I thought about the American earthquake brings revival dream of 3/14/12. And the other was in South America. Well, you know, the Great Lakes, the New Madrid quake could be the one that destroys the economy in Midwest earthquake of epic proportions. And this could be the time of the manifestation of the man-child reformers because Jesus died with an earthquake but was resurrected with a, quote, great earthquake. And this resurrection life and catching up to the throne is represented here of the same situation with the man-child. So, she said there were seven stars, which were earthquakes, all together that he pointed out to me. Seven earthquakes around the earth. And I'm not saying there won't. Look, you can't have a large earthquake without having a bunch of small ones. She's talking here about large earthquakes, very large earthquakes. And this reminds me of the, excuse me, she said, this reminds me of the seven booms that I heard after waking up from forgiving the repentant dream of 4/2/12, which we're going to share. Again, we're talking about saving God's people and restoring the fear of the Lord and having people come out of faction, for instance, and come out of the faction of the denominations and follow the man-child reformers. So after the booms ended, a song was playing in my mind. The lyrics are, I can walk on water, I can fly, and I will keep on fighting until I die. Awesome. And she says these are supernatural abilities of Jesus and the man child. And I believe this because that's who goes to work after these earthquakes. Okay. I could not remember how many stars exactly were in the dream, but I was pretty sure that there were seven. So I asked the Father to give me a verse with seven in it. And my finger was on Psalm 119, 79. Let those who fear you turn to me. Oh, wow. That is so awesome. Those who know your testimonies. Now, testimonies and witness is the same word. So the great witnesses of the miracles through the man-child ministry will turn many away from the harlot to God, just as it was in Jesus' day. Isn't that awesome? And I asked the Father for a confirmation verse, and my finger was on Jeremiah 22:7. I will prepare destroyers against you, every one with his weapons. They shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them into the fire. Wow. Okay. And here's the forgiving the repentant dream that she got on 4, 2, and 12. Eve Brast. And this is awesome. The Father gave me this dream this morning, and he told me to get up and type it and send it to David. I dreamed that there were 70 saints standing outside the front door of my mother's new house, wanting to come inside. And I call it this, that is a new house, now that my dad has passed away and she is a widow. So she moved to a new house. Well, our mother here represents the church who left their first house, just like many of you out there, of apostasy, who left their first house when their first husband, representing the false leadership, died. So this is the true church because they are the called out ones, you see. What are they called out of? Apostasy. Just like it was with the Jews. He called those first Christians the church because they were called out of apostasy. And so now you're talking about a woman here who is the real church, who has come out of apostasy, that old house ruled by that old man, right? The old man is dead. I had given my mom a hardbound red and white book on how to house 70 saints. Okay. Well, I think Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child, sent out 70 disciples after the first 12 who came out of the apostate church of that day. Pretty good, huh? The Spirit told me the colors were, quote, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, unquote. It is with these that the saints overcame the dragon. If you remember, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Yeah, the dragon here, I believe, represents the worldwide body of people inhabited by Satan as his body on the earth. And they range from people of the world to people of the apostate church who follow Satan's ways. The 70 here will overcome and expect forgiveness and entrance into the true church, which means the called out ones. You know, there's a factious body out there, and the elect among them are going to come out from among them at this time, right? And be separate. Praise be to God. You said I was not physically present at my mom's residence, the church, in this dream, but could hear everything and see everything that was happening from my bed. She had a head servant who was the doorkeeper, whose name was Praiseworthy. The Spirit told me that this head servant, Praiseworthy, was David Eales, but also a corporate body. So the corporate Davids of the man-child ministry, right? He was very tall and was dressed in a black and white tuxedo. He was standing at the doorway that led from the garage into the kitchen. Kitchen, of course, is where you prepare food. In this case, spiritual food, right? With the door open, looking at the saints. At the C70, right? We communicated back and forth in the spirit over the distance that we were separated through our minds. Well, Eve represents the bride here, who is led by the man-child, just as Mordecai, meaning little man in Hebrew and little boy in Persian, guided Esther even when she was in the king's house. And as in that case, the rest of Israel, as the church, is under the authority of these groups. Right. I heard my mom saying, well, I can only house seven of them because I only have enough beds for seven to sleep in. And Eve said there was an emphasis on the numbers 70 and 7 in this dream. Well, you know, Peter wanted to forgive seven times, Matthew 18 and 21. But Jesus said we must forgive 70 times 7 in 18 and 22. And Eve said, Praiseworthy, and I knew that there would be great trouble if she did not allow all of the 70 saints to enter into her house to sleep, which means enter into the rest. And we were discussing this through our minds in spirit back and forth. And I told him that she needed to obey the book. And let them into the house, even if they had to sleep on all the floors of the Father, or the Father would be very displeased. Yeah, we got to let them in the house. He said, I know I'm trying to talk her into it. That was Praiseworthy speaking, David speaking. I'm trying to talk her into it and hope she will listen. Remember, they had trouble with Paul. You know, everybody knew who he was. He was a factious person. And everybody knew who he was, and they didn't want to let him in. Paul had to straighten them out on that, right? So, Eve said, I knew there would be great trouble if she did not allow all 70 saints in. Okay, so there is, of course, great trouble, and the Father is displeased when we don't forgive, when we are sure that there is repentance because of the blood of the Lamb. How do we know there is repentance? Well, 1 John 1, 7 through 9 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light, the blood cleanses you from sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've had just exactly that coming from the faction. We didn't do nothing. if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. Listen, if God forgives, we forgive. But they've got to, there's a condition here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if they repent, we must forgive them. And it sounds to me like when the Lord restores the fear of God, it will be a time for them to repent. The earthquakes being part of that, the plagues being part of that, I believe. You know. Luke 17 and 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against thee seven times in the day, and seven times again turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Even I agree that these 70 who will repent represent the factious people and others who will repent of their sins and be forgiven. And we've had many dreams of individuals in the factious group of doing just this, repenting and returning. And in fact, we've probably got a few of them on the site. A lot of times names with names in them, we don't post them. Sometimes we take the name out and just post it because of the edification of the dream itself, right? We've got a lot of that out there too. So Eve said, then I was awakened at 4 a.m. by a loud crashing boom outside our mobile home that shook the window, followed by two more lesser crashing booms, followed by four more. That's interesting. She was awakened with these booms. It was seven booms or earthquakes. And after the booms stopped, I realized that a song was being sung in my mind. So part of this was a dream. Part of this was while she was awake. The lyrics were, I can walk on water. I can fly. I will keep on fighting till I die. And of course, this is fighting to kill the old man, right? Since the bride was hearing the man-child's voice in her mind, this is the man-child ministry who is speaking here, telling them that I can walk on water, I can fly, I can keep on fighting till I die. That's greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father, right? Amen. And so this is the man-child ministry who will also do these wonderful things coming after the time of the booming sounds, the seven earthquakes, representing the seven great earthquakes, right? And this is a song that was playing on a Halo Lego video. I don't know what that is. That my son Elijah and his friend, whose name is Rebel, believe it or not, were listening to last week on the computer. Halo, and of course this was way back then, Halo is a Navy SEAL acronym for High Altitude Low Opening, and it describes a certain airborne jump that they perform. Well, it is the safest method for parachuting into enemy territory while under fire. It is to free fall as close to the earth as possible before opening the chute. This maximizes the chance to evade the gunfire, right? The man-child will be coming to earth very fast and will be under enemy fire by the factious leaders as normal, just as in Javier's dream of that time where he saw three factious snipers shooting at me from the darkness of a tank, but they could not hit me. And Eve said, I'm not sure how it fits with the dream other than the lyrics seem to describe Jesus and the man-child, but the song seems to be a rebellious mantra against the establishment. Boy, I tell you, was Jesus and John the Baptist against the establishment or what? They were considered rebels, right? Yeah, so it's against the establishment of the factious and false hierarchy, you know. I asked the Father for a verse for the song, and my finger was on Lamentations 5 and 15. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. There, I believe that there will be repentance by the 70, who they represent. And they represent the forgiven, the elect who are forgiven. Praise the Lord. I asked the Father for a verse for the 70 saints in this dream, and my finger was on Mark 16 and 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. There it is. Deliverance. A day of deliverance. Amen. And what I see here is that these 70 will be delivered from these demons and will be casting them out of others, just like the 70 were sent by Jesus to do the same thing. And we've prayed for this, you know, with all of our hearts, that God's people, God's true elect, will come out from among them and be separate and walk in the steps of Jesus and in the power of Jesus, right? Amen. I then asked the Father for a confirmation verse and received John 8:14. Well, my thought is, in this context, the Pharisaical leaders were accusing Jesus, as they have the man children throughout history. John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest witness of thyself, thy witness is not true." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go." Well, I believe that this means that, like the man-child of our day, they're born from above and will be returning there. But Jesus went on to say, "But you know not whence I come and whither I go." And they don't know it today either. They don't know when they're facing the man-child, pre-anointed or post-anointed. Even after he was anointed, these Pharisees still fought against him. And God sent the beast to destroy them. 15, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. So the factions, criticism, and slander is judging after the flesh. Yea, and if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I got to tell you, the Father sent me, appeared to me 3 times, either he or Jesus 3 times, ordained me to do what I'm doing. And these wicked people have tried to stop me all of this time. Now, I know I'm just a little Jesus, but Jesus still lives in me. And whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And they have done it. And they're living under the curse. And the demons have got them in a stupor. And they don't know how wicked they are. They only know that they don't have any interest in following the word. And the Father has given us many dreams and visions and witnesses from heaven to judge by. Yeah, he has spoken to us much, and they don't want to hear it. At one time they thought it was tremendous, but then when they were turned over to the devil, they didn't want to hear it. I then asked the Father for 2 verses for the booms I heard that woke me up and got Ezekiel 22:31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I brought upon their heads. There it is, saith the Lord. So let me say that sowing unforgiveness, criticism, and slander always comes back into the life of the one who does it. It destroys their families, although they're in such a stupor they don't even know it. And when they curse, it returns upon them. Yeah. Matthew 7:2. For with what, this is again Eve's text here. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. That's why it comes back upon them. It has to. It has to obey the word of God. And Ezekiel 33:26, you stand upon your sword, you work abomination. Well, the sword of the word is under or submitted to them instead of the other way around. And you defile every one his neighbor's wife. That's UBM. And shall ye possess the land, the promised land? And the answer is no. No. Only those who repent will go there. And then I asked if there was anything else the Father wanted to say for the overall meaning of this dream, and my finger was on John 11 and 52. In context, John 11 and 50, "Nor do you take account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not." And 52, "And not for that the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together into in one the children of God who are scattered abroad." See, God is gathering his people out of the nations to the promised land. And that parable there, the kingdom of God, David, the man child, and the kingdom of God with the patriarchs and their children. And like in the text, Father will use the spiritual crucifixion of the man-child so that his resurrection life will gather the scattered saints under the anointing. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, God is just, he got it all covered. Listen at this. I wrote this, and it's interesting. I'm not saying it's a thus saith the Lord, but it's very interesting. Deb Horton put notes with the two verses that she got by faith at random for our morning meeting. Isaiah 2 and 20. "In that day men shall cast away their idols of silver." And she says, silver is the metal of redemption. Yes. "These are people who believed their false gods they made for themselves could save them." Okay, back to her text. "And their idols of gold." So they cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold. Gold is used to symbolize earthly riches, which also will not be able to save them. "Which have been made for them to worship or to trust in," right? "To the moles and to the bats." So they were cast away to the moles and to the bats. Okay. Note that both moles and bats are blind. Yeah. There are people out there that consider themselves Christians. They're totally blind. And unclean animals. Moles live in the earth, symbolizing going down alive into Sheol. And that's what happens to these people. They rail against Moses, and they were went down alive into Sheol, meaning they were dead while they lived. They were under the flesh and dead while they lived, right? Bats are active in the dark of night, so even though they can take to the air, they are not of the Spirit of God, but of the spirit of Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, right? They symbolize false prophets, messengers of Satan, who are the blind leading the blind. Yes, it is true. So, back to our text. Isaiah 2 and 20. "In that day men shall cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which have been made for them to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the caverns of the rocks and into the clefts of the ragged rocks from before the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake mightily the earth." Now, when could that happen? It's going to happen one more time, according to Paul. He'll shake the heavens and the earth. Yet once more, one more time, it's coming. It's right around the corner. Okay, so what do you think this is talking about? Let me say this. Put a 20 before the verses, like 2020. In that verse 20, it says, "Cast away the idols," which it looks like enlightenment and deliverance for the people of God. 2020. Then the next verse, 2021, because that's verse 21, right? "When God arises to shake mightily the earth with great earthquakes." Now, David Mullenix sent this in when he saw this text from Deb. He said, by the way, interesting that the number of this verse is 2:20. 2 and 20. In other words, he says, 2020, perfect vision. In contrast to the blindness characterized in the verse, perfect vision. Well, that's saving his people from darkness, isn't it? Then he went on to say, the number 20 has been showing up a lot to me. That was David Mullenix. Then Deb said, Strong's H2020 is deliverance. Ooh, do you think 2020 might be a time of deliverance from blindness and darkness? Ah, could be. Strong's G2020, now that was H2020, and this is Strong's G2020, is to begin to grow light and begin to dawn. Well, there you go. That fits pretty good too, doesn't it? And then I said, deliverance from the faction in 2020? Question mark. In spring, I have read that amateur astronomers will be able to see Planet X because it's not going to be directly behind the sun anymore. It's going to be passing out from behind the sun. Not around in front of the Earth, but from behind the sun, over way behind the sun, right? And earthquakes will likely be prevalent. So amateur astronomers, that is, if they don't cloud us all up, and they're planning on going out in space and making a cloud further out in space, which would more easily cover the sun, and, you know, they're doing this. They're planning on this. They want to hide this from you. Will it still happen? I don't know. This was a plan definitely in the Obama administration. I don't know what will happen with Trump. But will this begin to enlighten God's people and return to them the fear of the Lord if they see that thing coming that they've been hearing about and everybody's been denying? Now, I know when it comes around the sun and heads towards the earth, you only got about 40 days. That should really wake people up. Okay, yeah, they may try to cover it up, but that won't be possible all the way through because this thing totally sweeps away the atmosphere of the earth. So again, I said that when I awoke this morning of Deborah's verse, I saw 5555 on my clock, 5555 on my clock. You say, how's that possible? Well, it's one of those optical things, you know, when you're trying to peek up from your pillow and your face is stretched on the side a little bit and out of the corner of your eye, you're looking, and I saw it clearly, 5555, and my head was still on the pillow. And I, of course, I picked my head up, and it was 555. And I told this to the brethren in the morning. And one of them told me of my own license plate number, which I knew not. It has 5H5-5H5, four fives. And the date on the plate was 2020. Meaning great grace in 2020. Right? Again, I know you may think it's a stretch, but this is an awful lot of coincidences here, and I don't believe in coincidences. So I think God's giving us a sign here, great grace in 2020. And Deb said something else. She said the letters between the 55s on the plate represent H, which is hay, which is grace, and N, which is noon, which is eternity. So you got 5, grace, 5, and then -5, eternity, 5 on my license plate. Ain't that cool? I didn't even think about that or know that. That's only people that follow me behind me on my car get to see that. I never even noticed it. Well, notice that verse 21 for 2021 is when he arises to shake mightily the earth. And I believe that's the crossing of Planet X in the spring of 2021 with its great earthquakes. Okay. So there's 2020 and 2021. 2020 is a time of deliverance, and 2021 is a time of great shaking. And as we've just already discussed, it's also a time of the coming of the man-child, miracles, people coming out of the denominations, and getting ready to follow the man-child into the wilderness. Praise God. Good stuff, huh? Okay, I'm going to give you just a little portion of something here. A dream was given to Eve on 4-2 of 09. And here is the portion of it in context. The angels pulled up to the hospital. It was dark, early morning, just before the dawn broke. I went up a stairwell to the second floor to find my assigned locker in the nurse's lounge and placed the food and drink that had been provided for me in the locker. Suddenly, many children dressed in army BDUs came filing past me, getting ready for something, some event. Well, it had to be something about warfare, you know, obviously. So my thought was, could these be the man children preparing to do battle? I think so. And as I looked up from them to my right, I saw the commander of all the troops, and I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. His name was Adam, as in what? The last Adam, Jesus, in the man-child body. That's what I think. And I said his name, and we hugged and greeted each other with great joy, just like you met Jesus, right? He's coming. He's coming in his people. First in the first fruits, and then in the bride, and then in the rest. He's coming. And we were both the same rank. Now that's a hard one. Well, they have the same authority because Jesus lives in the bride. You know, and in the man child, they're the same rank because it's still Jesus doing the work, right? And after he hugged me, he asked me with excitement and great joy. The Lord has some great joy here about something. He said, are you ready for April the 11th? Okay, well, I put an update in this dream that a sign was given on April the 11th, which was a record for large earthquakes around the world. And I think it was on, let's see, 2013. Also, the largest strike slip earthquake on record was an 8.6 that happened. It moved the earth 70 plus feet. April the 11th was a mighty sign. A record number of large earthquakes around the world. And also the largest strike slip earthquake on record, 8.6, happened. And it moved the earth 70 plus feet. There's that 70 again. Oh, my goodness. We have been shown that these large earthquakes are coming at the time of the coming of the man-child ministry. And then I put a video there about 4 foot of hail that fell in Texas on the 11th. Weird stuff happened on the 11th. I just picked that up and threw it in there. Eve said, I sure am, meaning I'm ready for April 11th. He said, well, okay then. Put your things away and report to operating room 6. God's going to do an operation on some people. I said, yes, sir. And then I woke up. Operating room 6, she said, represents cutting off the flesh and the death of the old man. Which she had another dream about that too. The Father gave me Song of Solomon 8:6 for the operating room 6. Song of Solomon 8:6. That was the size of the great earthquake. 8 and 6. Notice the verse, 8:6, was also the size of the largest slip-fall quake on April the 11th above, an 8.6. Could this be foretelling? Not necessarily a date. This is my thinking here. But what this date represents in the future, a day of many great earthquakes that go around the world and a slip-fall quake. You know what a slip-fault quake is? Oh, it's kind of like the San Andreas is one, you know. And there are a bunch of them that do great damage. This Song of Solomon verse says that Jesus is the seal upon the bride's heart, but the verse numbers and the title is what the Lord magnified to me. 8 is the number of Jesus, and 6 is the number of man. So Jesus in man is the man-child, and this is completed in spirit at the anointing and the sending, which happens at that time during the earthquakes. And this is also when the groom and the man-child and the bride find each other, which is the story of Song of Solomon. And she said, the second dream was given to me. Now, we're running out of time here. Matter of fact, I believe I have run out of time. On 4-6 of 09, here's a portion in context. I went back to the barracks tent, and I saw the same commander of all the troops named Adam, and he was supervising our preparation for a road march that we were going on. That means going into the wilderness tribulation. And note, I had also, at the beginning of a fast, asked the Father for a dream to explain the meaning of April the 11th, and up until the end of the second day, I had not received one. I wondered why, and I heard in my spirit, the morning of the third day. So I realized the Father was going to give me the dream on the morning of the third day. But also, I say this, Hosea 6, 2, and 3, the Lord comes as the latter rain on the morning of the third day, as the man-child to lead the woman into the wilderness. When I woke up, I wrote it down, and it's along the same theme as the other dreams about April the 11th. We're not pointing to a date here, although something could happen on that date. We're pointing to what happened on that date, which is a repeat of history. And we're packing to go somewhere also. It reminds me of Moses being anointed, and we all started packing to go somewhere and ended up on a trailer being pulled by Moses on a John Deere tractor. And I believe they mean going into the wilderness behind John the Baptist, repentance preaching to work in the harvest. Whew, man, that's good. Well, I run out of time. And then some. God bless you, saints, and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless Michael and all the brethren that joined together to study your word. Bless them mightily, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.